G'day, I'm Rowan Barker, and this is The Silver Bullet. The freight transportation industry is what keeps our country moving. Accounting for 10% of Australia's GDP, it's vital to our economy. However, with the industry currently responsible for 12% of global CO2 emissions, key industry players are calling for significant changes to ensure a greener, more efficient future. Specialising in ugly freight, leading logistics and supply chain solutions provider Freight Exchange is helping customers to make more informed decisions on environmental outcomes and carbon emissions. Founder and CEO of Freight Exchange, Kate Hull, is a leading voice in the industry's journey towards net zero, and she joins me now. Kate, welcome.
Great to be here.
So, start off, can you tell me why you started Freight Exchange?
Yeah, I started Freight Exchange many years ago now, off the back of an insight that I discovered when I was working in consulting for supply chain clients. And the insight was that an enormous number of vehicles, freight transport vehicles, were running empty, and not empty, fuel empty, but there just wasn't anything in the back of the trucks. In fact, there's 30% of excess capacity in that industry. And I started to dig into it a little bit more and learn a little bit more and realize that there was a huge problem around the efficiency of the industry from a digital and data perspective. So I'm good at those things. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's be the change we want to see and get started with Freight Exchange.
So it was literally gaps in space in trucks and planes and trains and whatever that was underutilized or not utilized at all.
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And there's a lot of great solutions and hopefully we're going to talk a little bit about that, but that's essentially what we're on a mission to do is to make it more efficient.
So you specialize, and I mentioned this in the intro, you specialize in what's called ugly freight. Now, for those of us who are unfamiliar with that term, what is ugly freight?
Yeah, well, it means that you will never get a career in modelling. It's not an industry. Go ahead.
I've got a good head for radio. That's why I'm doing this.
Well, I've got a good head for ugly freight. So, it's awesome. The term is an industry term, and it refers to things that don't comfortably fit. In a shoebox, for example. So it needs specialized equipment to move it around, either to load it or unload it. So if you think about a lot of cold, frozen things need specialized vehicles to store, your ice cream and transport it around. Likewise, things like machinery, equipment, building materials, all of those things need specialized equipment. So that's what the term ugly freight means in the industry.
Yeah, because some stuff's simple, right? It's boxes, you stack it on a pallet, you shrink wrap it, it's easy, it fits in a container, you get 3x4 of them in across a layer, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the simple stuff. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, exactly right. So as you can imagine, it's quite a lot more expensive to ship when things don't stack neatly into rows on a vehicle. And so that's why we really focus on that, because there's a lot of our customers, business customers, really need help, and we should be doing everything we can to minimize or maximize the utilization on vehicles. So that's what we do.
And we're all relying more on deliveries these days, aren't we? So consumers at a personal level are at least partly responsible for this surge in demand, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we certainly that has come to the centre of everyone's attention when you were sitting at home during lockdowns, and the only way to get things was to get them delivered to your home. And so some of the problems that do exist in the industry very much came to the fore, have come to the fore in the last couple of years. That huge, huge surge in e-commerce and home deliveries is certainly adding to the complexity.
Can you share then some examples of the most challenging or unique shipments that Freight Exchange has successfully managed?
Look, absolutely. We do everything from live eels on aircraft. So, you know, to flat pack coffins, to, you know, engines, car engines and bumper bars. We have clients from all walks of all industries.
It sounds like the middle aisle at Aldi, if you ask me. But if you live eels, are we talking this is for unagi in Japan or something like that? Is that where they're going?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So picking up fresh and frozen seafood from the co-ops along the coastline and popping those on planes or in vehicles and getting those delivered to the fish markets.
Amazing. And so it's thrown me a bit, actually, because that's such a broad and ridiculous collection of items. And I can understand why it's called Ugly Freight. It doesn't fit into the categories or the spaces, it sounds. So how do you prioritise sustainability and eco-friendly practices, especially given the unique challenges of Ugly Freight? Because as we've discussed, they don't fit neatly into spaces, do they?
No, they absolutely don't. And if we take the example of building materials, then frequently, you know, they do actually need a single specialised delivery to get things out to building site, for example. And so there are sustainability challenges, some of which are easily or more easily solved through a platform like ours, which optimises the space on vehicles for customers and transport companies. And so other challenges are harder to solve. Obviously, when trucks and trains and planes all run on diesel fuel, then they're going to remain inefficient.
So how do you find the space and decide what to put in it?
Yeah, that's all driven within our platform through our software and also through the algorithms that power the software. So when we work with what we call transport carriers or freight transport carriers, we define in the platform what that transport company can travel with, mm-hmm. And how big the vehicle is and how big the fleet is and what their pricing is. So we set all of that up in the system, and then when our customers come on board and ship their freight, we ask what it is, and we do a very simple and sometimes more complex matching algorithm to make sure things are moving smoothly.
So that's your USP. You own this technology, this software. You've developed that in-house?
Oh, absolutely. The platform was very much developed with solving this problem in mind. So it is what we would describe, I don't know if we want to go into the technical jargon, but let's go there. we call it software-enabled freight marketplace. So what that means is the transport providers can come into the platform and they can load up their vehicles and their fleet and their prices. And then we will, very much like Uber, we'll make sure that they are, legal, they have insurances and do all of that sort of work behind the scenes. And then once those carriers are enabled, then customers can go ahead and book that freight through our platform.
And so they let you know where they're going and when and what kind of vehicle, et cetera, and then you can help them match them with somebody who needs to move something at that time that will fit in the available space.
Absolutely.
So we are trying to get to net zero in the freight industry by 2030, which is only 6 years away. You are clearly helping to take those steps. What else needs to happen?
Oh, my goodness. There's quite a lot that needs to happen. And one of the, as I mentioned it earlier, so platforms like ours, so digitizing and automating and optimizing every kilometre on every vehicle is certainly one of the, that's what we're all about. In addition to that, the industry does need to decarbonize. There's no two ways about it. So, getting rid of the diesel fleets off the road and retrofitting those into hydrogen or electronic vehicles is going to be a really important step for making that happen.
So has that process of retrofitting freight vehicles to run either using hydrogen or, using electricity, is that already underway?
It's very much underway. It is nowhere near at the scale that it needs to be. And I think, I mean, look, this is not a new idea, but, you know, there's literally millions of vehicles just in Australia, that's not even globally, that need to be retrofitted. So it is a big task to get that done. But there's some incredible, you know, Australian companies who are, you know, innovating in that space to make sure that hydrogen and EVs are available for freight companies. So it's certainly starting to pick up pace.
But to be polite, there's probably a misalignment, am I right, as far as the timeline for this actually happening and the need to, you know, be net zero by 2030?
Look, there's most certainly a huge misalignment in that space. And when you consider that we still subsidise diesel fuel for companies, then, you know, I think we do need to divert some of that expenditure into that retrofitting and the changing of the technology. So yeah, there is a misalignment. You're absolutely right.
So there's a misalignment in timing and a misalignment in policy, it would seem.
I think so, yes.
So there is an increased focus on sustainability just throughout society generally. Are you noticing a shift in customer needs in that space, and how have you responded to that?
Yeah, we have, and that's where I came to the insight around the, you know, the fossil fuels and needing to retrofit the vehicles. Is we launched our CO2 emissions reporting tool recently, and it was, you know, even from someone who's in the industry, it was quite enlightening to see that customers were demanding. They want to know. And we're talking about large corporates and enterprises and small businesses as well. They want to know what their footprint is. And so by producing that report, it's been really insightful to find out, you know, where the opportunities are to really decarbonize and become more sustainable. So, yeah, it was a really important step for us to provide those insights.
Do you think people are responding in the way you expected them to? I mean, it's all well and good to say we recognise that we need to decarbonise. Is government playing the role it needs to, or is there much more room for them to, you know, pick up their act, so to speak?
Oh, look, I'm definitely not an expert in government policy or industry policy for that matter. But again, when I think about, you know, you're looking at $250 billion to retrofit or replace vehicles just in freight transportation to take that 12% of fuel emissions or carbon emissions out of the air. I think we need to, everyone, governments, industry, private citizens, we all need to be doing as much as we can.
That's a big number. $250 billion. That's just Australia.
Yeah, it's just Australia as well. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not including ships and planes.
So that's just road and rail, land-based transport.
Land-based transportation. Yeah. It's a really big number.
Wow. Okay. So we are evolving, presumably, in the freight and logistics industry. How has it evolved since you founded Freight Exchange?
That is such a great question. It is, it is completely different. So when we first started the company, again, you know, nearly eight or nine years ago, it was designed to digitize and optimize with data the movement of goods through supply chains. And at that time, there were a lot of transport companies that didn't, and our customers as well, who didn't use a lot of technology. It was still running on, sign on a piece of paper in triplicate. So it was very much a manually phone-driven, email-based, spreadsheet-based industry. And, you know, fast forward 8 years and now most transport companies have GPS installed on their vehicles, the level of safety and the improvement in emissions is chalk and cheese in such a short period of time. And of course, you know, the COVID disruptions played a fairly large part in really fast-tracking a lot of those changes as well.
Yeah, I guess route optimization is pretty key as far as reducing your emissions. Is that something that was accelerated by COVID?
Absolutely. So route optimization is not necessarily an area that we're specializing in. We are more about load utilization and optimizing movements. So making sure that any vehicle that moves is as full as it possibly can be.
You were talking about the your research that you've just done. Is that part of your CO2 emissions reporting tool? Is that my understanding?
Yeah, it is. And it is part of the CO2 reporting tool. And it's a really important input into how we optimize the movement of goods through supply chains for customers. So not only can we minimize cost and create that transparency around cost and also where goods are, we can also minimize the CO2 now. So you've got transparency on cost and the CO2 costs.
Because transport does add, people probably don't really think about it too much, but transport does add another layer of expense to everything that we buy.
Absolutely, it does. And when you consider that in Australia, a huge number of our goods, apart from food and and the things that we're really, our beautiful produces and things that we make and grow, most of it comes from overseas. Mm. And it does. It adds an enormous cost to the goods that we buy.
And a lot of things people probably don't understand. Some stuff's landed in Melbourne, some stuff's landed in Wollongong, some stuff, comes in through Sydney. So there is a large land transport element to a lot of those imported things. Again, perhaps more than people might otherwise think.
Yeah, exactly right. So it comes out of, from an overseas location where it's manufactured, heads to the port, goes onto a train, gets unpacked, goes onto a truck, onto another truck, and then finally gets delivered to a store or into a home. And yeah, that's a lot of changing hands. It's a lot of it's a large network. It's kind of miraculous how it works, to be honest, when you think about it and how complex it is. Mm. But yeah, it really does add enormously.
And do you work with transport providers at all levels of that supply chain?
We do, yeah. We have recently launched in the international space, so that's transporting goods via air across, globally, essentially. So we are now doing land-based transportation and global transportation, and sometime in the next couple of months we'll be heading off into North America as well. So, yeah, we are massively growing our network.
That's really exciting.
It is. It's really exciting.
What's the plan? Are you starting on the West Coast, or is there a freight hub that's, a key element of the entire US transportation network that you're focusing on to start with, or is it company by company basis?
Yeah, it is a company by company basis at this stage. The US and North American market is, I think it's about 30 times larger in our space, in the ugly freight land-based space, than Australia. And it's not quite $1 trillion, but it's up there. We are going to start customer by customer and grow out from there.
And so what stakeholders, other than the companies that you work with, what other stakeholders are you working closely with to sort of, I guess, almost push your message out there to make sure that people are aware that, they can optimize their loads?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work closely with transport companies. I've already mentioned that we work with manufacturers, retailers, wholesalers, small business people, and our agricultural sector. We also partner with a lot of technology and innovation stakeholders. So I mentioned, we were talking earlier about route optimization. There's a lot of incredible talent and software providers out there who are really good at some of these things. So where they are best in class, we will incorporate it into our software. And that just brings the efficiencies all into one place for our customers and for our carriers.
So can you describe some of those sort of innovative solutions or technologies that you have used and perhaps incorporated to streamline your, particularly your ugly freight movements?
Yeah, I suppose everyone's heard of IoT, which is the Internet of Things, which is things like sensors that detect whether something's been tipped over, for example, or or GPS, GPS technologies, so that we can see where vehicles are at all times. There's AI companies, some of whom are Australian, some of whom are well known overseas. Technology companies that we partner with for the optimization for the movement around our streets to minimize carbon emissions there. So, packaging companies who are great at recycled and sustainable packaging. So we partner with all manner of businesses in the industry to try and drive a better outcome for the environment, also for our customers.
What trends or developments do you see coming in the logistics industry, especially in handling specialised and non-standard freight?
Yeah, I mean, AI is obviously making a huge change to the industry. I mentioned earlier that when we first started, a lot of companies were still very much using paper and pen and phone and email. And now with, the innovations around AI, that will go away in the next 12 months. A lot of those manual processes will be massively improved with AI. So those are huge. All of the innovations around technology and vehicles and robots, the list goes on and on. It's really incredible the things that are happening in the industry.
Yeah, I used to work last century as a storeman and packer, and it was trucks and blokes getting out with a clipboard and it had to be a blue or black pen, and you had to push quite hard because it was quadruplicate kind of con notes and all that kind of stuff, and everything was written down by hand, and then stickers and labels, and if it was no wonder stuff went missing, I guess.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, exactly. You've been there at the front line.
I'm glad to hear it's changed a bit.
A lot. I hope that you wouldn't recognize some of the operations now. It's quite incredible.
Now, you mentioned you're going to the US. That's a massive market. You're starting with a few different companies, I take it, and then sky's the limit, I guess, from there, is it?
Yeah, very much so. And again, very much focused on, on the areas that we're good at and fixing or, providing solutions for, in our, and again, it's an enormous market, but I call it a niche market. And so we're really very much focused on making sure that, it's easy. It's really easy to use our platform, that it's intuitive, that you're not there in triplicate with a board. Basically, you can sign up, you can get started, you can get a price, you can track it, you can find out what your emissions are, you can minimize your emissions. And all of that just happens in the background so that our customers, the carriers, can just focus on doing what they do best, which is, making things, shipping things, creating really great customer experiences. So, we want to be that behind the scenes bit of magic for the American market.
Yeah, I guess they don't need to know how it works. They just need to know that it does.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's really what we're focusing on, not just here, but in the US. Not saying it's easy, but that's definitely the area of focus.
Is America, just in terms of the geography, it's kind of similar to Australia in terms of size. So does that help in being able to explain to people, Sydney to Perth is similar to LA to New York? Is that an advantage for you, do you think, going into the US?
Yeah, it is. And also the similarities in some ways to the way our industries work. So the freight transportation and long haul industry actually works quite similarly in that it's to Australia. Obviously, we're just a much smaller market. And then if you think through Canada, not just the US, but in Canada as well, where they have very large mining and agricultural sectors, and also very large dispersed populations. And so there's a lot of similarities between what we do here in Australia and in the North American market, which is why it makes it a good natural next step for us.
Well, I hope it all goes very well. It sounds like a fabulous opportunity. What, probably your last question, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to enter the logistics industry?
Oh, goodness. There are, wow. I think the advice I would, if I look back on my time, the advice I would have given myself is to do less and focus on solving much smaller problems, at first. So start really small and really add a huge amount of value to customers. And so I think that's probably the advice I would give because it is an enormous market. And if you can find an area where you're really helping customers or carriers or adding value to them and their business, then, as you said, the sky's the limit. It is an enormous, enormous problem that needs help being solved.
So find that one thing and home in on it until you are the absolute best at it.
Absolutely. And to know that it just works as well is really, really essential. So there are so many problems still to be solved in this space. I mentioned, robots and AI and electrification and sustainability measures. There's a huge amount of problems to be solved in the logistics industry. And so, I would basically say, find a problem that resonates and solve it really well. And you're away.
So you've started out solving it for land transport. You're moving into air freight. Is the shipping next?
Absolutely. I think there is certainly a huge opportunity in that space. Was initially is still our mission is to, again, we just want to make it easy. We want to make it transparent and we want to make it, almost invisible, which sounds strange, but, I liken it to a telephone call. You don't have to know how that phone call is happening. You just need to know that phone call will happen and that you'll connect. Or a bank transfer or any of those things where there's an incredible amount of technology behind the scenes making things work. And I think that's where we need to get to.
Yeah, you only notice when it goes wrong, and otherwise you take it for granted almost.
Absolutely.
Well, Kate, I hope the world starts taking you for granted. Well, not for granted as so much, but that they integrate Freight Exchange into their future deliveries, ambitions and transport, and all the best with taking it global.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much, Rowan. I appreciate it. And it sounds odd, but we do. We really want to be, the magic glue that makes it happen. So we hope people take us for granted one day too.
Great. Kate, thanks very much for your time.
Okay. Cheers, Rowan.